You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Happy Friday. What's up? Welcome in. We're Grant and Danny, and we are out and about on The Fan today. A Friday field trip from our beloved spot, our wonderful, just our favorite location out here in Leesburg at Pupatella Pizza, where we're going to be hanging out from 2 to 6:30, kicking it with listeners all day long as you guys get out of the office, you do some holiday shopping. It's a Friday before Christmas.
It is.
Why are you even working anyway, right?
Seriously.
Just come on out, get some lunch. If you bring the buddies, they got the full bar. Be here with us. We're here until 6:30 getting ready for a rare Saturday Commanders game. We are 27 hours from kickoff of Commanders Eagles.
We are nestled in the friendly bosom of the beautiful, perfect epicenter of hospitality in the greater Leesburg area. I love Pupatella. I'm not ashamed of that. I'm not ashamed to admit it. I'm not ashamed to let people know that their never-ending stream of cheese, carbohydrates, sauce, and joy brought right to your table is outstanding. A great way to kick off your pre-holiday week, holiday weekend, whatever you want to call it. Get fueled up before you go shop. Come hang out with your pals. We're here all day.
Yeah, come kick it and hang with us. It's going to be a good day. We're excited to be with you from 2 to 6:30. We got a great show planned for you today as well, oh, by the way. Guest rundown is strong. Pat Forty, who covers college football, legendary college writer, is going to stop by in an hour at 3. The college football playoff gets started tonight and really gets going heavily, especially with local flair, tomorrow. But we'll preview some of the games and talk about the chances of the JMU Dukes trying to do the unthinkable with Oregon with Pat Forty at 3 o'clock. Also on the show today, Ani Kalambi, the general manager of the Washington Nationals, just 31 years old, Danny, believe it or not.
Unbelievable. What were you doing at 30? I guess hosting the show with me. But in general, I asked that rhetorically. What were most people doing at 30? I was like underemployed, mildly depressed, not really sure what I wanted to do with my life. I was certainly not running a Major League Baseball team.
Also fired up to talk to Joe Davis, Fox Sports, number one play-by-play baseball broadcaster, called the World Series. He's the Dodgers' daily play-by-play voice on their television network, and he is the number two at Fox for the NFL with his broadcast partner, Greg Olson. They've got Commanders tomorrow. So we'll talk to Joe Davis, who's flying into town this afternoon and headed over to the facility for some meetings at 4:30. So that's the lay of the land for us on Grant and Danny today. But I actually want to start with last night's game because it was incredible.
How great was that?
I get home from the Caps game. I'm monitoring. I've got the phone out. I'm listening, whatever. You know, I go back and get caught up. Caps, by the way, got a much-needed win, 4-0. Awesome performance.
Is that their most complete win of the year? I mean, it's easy to say because it's recency, but close it felt that way, right?
I mean, Jacob Chychrun was excellent. It's still a little more defensive scoring than I would want. I think they're a little bit light offensively up front because they don't have Ryan Leonard. They don't have Pierre-Luc Dubois. You're feeling that a little bit?
Yep.
With some of the rotations and the lines, but doesn't matter. I mean, that was such a good game. Pretty clean defensively as the game went on. Logan Thompson was great. And it was just what the doctor ordered. You go on the road, you get blown out twice, 10-1, outscored over two games, giving up five goals. Come home and do that. And that's what they needed. It's what they got. And they're going to feel much better about themselves going into the dressing room. But I get home in time to watch the better part of the second half of this Rams-Seahawks game. And my goodness, man, was that a classic. Here's your game of the year. How often does this happen? It's so rare, right, that you get this unbelievable matchup on paper that then plays out to be as good or better than the expectation, the anticipation. 11-3 L.A., 11-3 Seattle, top two teams in the NFC West. Winner of the game probably wins the division, likely becomes the one seed in the NFC. And then we're going to overtime 30-30 after Seattle erases a 16-point deficit with 8:05 to go. Touchdown, two-point conversion on a 58-yard punt return, Rashid Shaheed. Then they go down the field, two plays, 57 yards on a 26-yard pass to Barner with 6:25 to go. They get the wildest, craziest, dumbest, most ridiculous, probably fakest two-point conversion in the history of the world.
I mean, what?
And we're headed to overtime in Lexington.
God.
And then, for the first time in the history of the NFL, Danny, a walk-off two-point conversion overtime winner. It's never happened before.
Timeout one team. Timeout the other team. Slight formation change. Slight coverage change. Let's see what they're doing. And we call a third formation that was different than the first one, which caused the timeout. That was a live chess match. What an incredible moment. I mean, for a while, it sort of looked like, you know, a reversal of the first one. If you remember the first matchup, the Seahawks outplayed the Rams except for the turnovers. This game was kind of the flip of that, where Matt Stafford threw for 460 and three. And they had 500, you know, million yards, whatever the number was, numbers approximate, almost 600 total yards.
581.
Yeah, no turnovers, and they lost. It was the other way around. Seattle still had the turnovers, but, you know, was sort of the second-best team kind of throughout this game. And they just kept coming and coming. That punt return was the game-changer, I thought.
You know what I want to know? And if we've got a numbers-driven listener who's good at searching things, or maybe we could put our research department, Toby, on this. How often in the history of the NFL has a team gained 581 net yards and not turned the ball over and lost?
I think I saw last night someone tweeted it. Shout out JP Finlay that it had never happened before. So there you go.
Mean, it's not.
But I don't know if that's right or not. But the point is, it's remarkable.
It can't be possible. The only way that it was even made possible last night was a punt return touchdown. Because you got so thoroughly outplayed otherwise. And Rashid Shaheed, the trade that they made for him, he had a kick return touchdown a couple weeks ago. He's paying off major dividends. He's been a huge asset for Seattle. What do you got, Toby? Did you find something over there? Six times. Happened. You said zero, right?
I thought it was zero, so there you go. Again, that's how reliable what I found via Twitter last night.
Why I put our research department on it.
Yeah, and I literally went, I thought I saw someone tweet about it last night, and that was the extent of my research. So there you go.
But you also threw JP under the bus, I think. You said JP said it.
No, I said because I did his tweeted bit. So now he says words with TW incorrectly.
Oh, see, I took that as JP tweeted that it had never happened.
No,
it's
I'll do sentences every once in a while as JP where it's like, well, I tweeted in 2012 that there were 24 different twilights. You know what I mean? I'll do stuff like that every
gotcha.
Here. Gotcha.
Yeah. No, that's part of the routine. You could work that. It's like Barkley.
Yeah.
And
as long as people are like, oh, you guys know JP Finlay? He's awesome. Here's something he does, though, sometimes. Right. And it wouldn't go over to the masses maybe as well.
I don't know how you lose that game, though. 581,
incredible.
Eight conversions on third down, 37 points.
Pookie Nukes, 225 and two.
How about that line?
Come on.
16 targets for Puka Nacua. 12 catches, 225 yards, two touchdowns.
I mean, Seattle was so outclassed in that first half. It was like their offense was basically that one screen pass for 40-some yards to Kenneth Walker. They didn't have much going, and yet they didn't trail by that much going into the second half, and they were just trying to play catch-up the entire time. And, of course, they did with, as you said, the punt return, the craziest two-point conversion I think I've ever seen, where everybody stopped.
Yeah.
The play was over. I understand the rule. I get that it may have even been applied correctly. I just know that that wouldn't sit well with me if I was the NFL. I don't know what to do about it. It's one of those things that I'm not making a great point here. I'm not going to do some sort of hot take or type deal. I just know that if everybody thinks the play is over and it stops and the whistle blows, you can't just be like, hey, I'll retrieve the ball for the referee and have that be a two-point conversion. I just know that I would try to do something about that.
So Sean McVay, after the game, made a similar point. He said, look, I grew up around this game. I've been around this game my whole life. I don't understand what happened on that play. And he was quick to say, I'm not making an excuse. We don't do that. It doesn't help us.
Right.
He didn't go as far as saying that's not why we lost, but I think that was kind of the point
he was making.
It's
a pretty big reason.
But the fact is, even after that two-point conversion, the Rams had other chances and didn't move the ball. Here's my question about this game that I find so interesting. It feels like watching that game on national TV that Matt Stafford...
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second, and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Stafford may have taken a big step toward winning the MVP award. When you go out and you throw for 457 and 3 in your biggest game of the year against the best competition you're going to face, Seattle's number one defense in the NFL,
yep.
Number one, and he throws for 457 and 3, right? You'd say, well, he's your MVP. But yet, in the fourth quarter, they went 3-and-out on 3 straight possessions trying to put the game away.
Yep.
They had the ball 5 times after their early touchdown, the first minute of the fourth quarter or so. Punt, punt, punt. Missed field goal from distance. Punt in that final quarter.
Yep.
So here I am saying, I think he may have sealed up the MVP in that game. And then you look at it, and he had the ball 5 times at the end of the game. And it's a dependent position, and the whole offense did. I understand that. But they couldn't move the chains. They couldn't go get the field goal. They couldn't win the game. Does that get held against him? I'm not really sure how voters feel. I think you just look at the stat line of 457 and 3 against the number one defense, and you go, he did his part. But every time they got the ball back, I know from watching on television on Prime with Herb Street or listening to the Rams call coming back from the Caps game, what was being said by the play-by-play Rams broadcaster is, here is Matt Stafford's MVP moment. Three and out punt. Here it is, three and out punt. So should he be the MVP after a game like that? Probably. But I don't know how voters will view it, is my point.
That's a great point. Because, as you're saying, you give me the net-net, which is 4-16-3 against the best defense in the sport in
unreal.
A must-win game, or not must-win, you know what I mean, like a major importance game for the one seed in both the division and the conference, I go, yeah, that's as impressive as you're going to find. But within the game, Seattle's defense stiffened, to their credit, whether it's an adjustment or, you know, a call here and there or who knows what. So they deserve some credit, too. They get paid to play.
There was one bad drop in there on a 2nd-and-8. I think it was Parkinson. Cody Parkinson on 2nd-and-8, like on the little out route to the sideline,
yeah.
The ball in his hands.
Yep,
otherwise, though, that was kind of the only one where they really let him down.
Right.
Here's the other point on that MVP thing, though. Historically speaking, and we could check this, but if you're a quarterback and you don't win your division, it's really hard to win MVP. Now, I think this year will be different because I think Stafford will win, especially
– with three teams, they're going to win 12 or 13 games in that division.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If you win – let's say 13 games. Let's say they win their last two and you're 13-4.
Yep.
I don't care if you won your division or not. You're a 13-4 team. But it has been held against quarterbacks for years that they don't win their division. And so in the case of, you know, Drake May, if he wins the AFC East, maybe that's used as a checkmark in his corner.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that should be a determining factor. I just know that oftentimes that's how the voting goes.
That's a good point. Yeah, I mean, this again, that division is so special. Arizona notwithstanding, but they're going to be three teams that finish with at least 12 wins. That kind of tells you the story, right?
Only twice has the AP NFL MVP award gone to a quarterback on a team that didn't win its division, according to the Toby Altizer Research Department.
Both with the Colts, interestingly enough.
2008, Peyton Manning. 1967, Johnny Unitas. So this is kind of my point. Now, I think this year could be unique enough that we erase some history, but last night was a big shot against winning the division for the Rams. Could it have been a shot against the MVP award for Stafford? I don't think May played well enough in that Bills game to have any momentum, but they still have three games left now. So if you play really well in three games, you win the division, you get to, what would that be, 14 wins for them, I think?
Yep.
14-3 to the Rams, 13-4. I could see May still winning it. But, man, we're saying this after Stafford last night went 457-3.
There's also enough bold ink now for Stafford where he's, I think he's 14 TDs ahead of the next leader, which, again, if it's a couple, you go, okay, fine, whatever. That didn't make that much of a difference. But leading the league in yards, leading the league in quarterback rating, adjusted net yards per attempt. There's enough bold ink there for an excellent football team that, you know, gives you an idea. And, again, that was without Devonta Adams last night, too. That's their goal line cheat code.
Yeah.
Where a bunch of his touchdowns have come, and they found another way to do it. He's having a special enough year that I don't think last night will hurt his case. But again, a nuanced, informed voter could absolutely make that argument. Where what would the MVP do in this situation? You drop the next place guy in that same spot. Would he have performed better in those? Was it five drives
right.
that they had a chance to go
Allen
win it?
If Josh Allen gets those five drives, do you get points?
You feel like you would have,
point,
right? I mean, again,
right?
That's what makes this discussion so fun.
So other side of this is the Seattle Seahawks. This is an unfair thing I'm about to say about Seattle.
Oh.
Who I love this team. I like Mike McDonald, their head coach. I love this defense. I think their skill guys on offense are well put together, led by elite wide receiver Jaxon Smith-Njigba, who was shut out in the first half and still went 8-for-96 and a touchdown last night. Just a monster final quarter in overtime for him as he caught the big touchdown to give them the win. As I watched that game last night, Danny, I came to the realization, and this is going to sound a little shouty show, so I'm going to apologize in advance. I don't think they can win the Super Bowl with Sam Darnold at quarterback. Now, Sam Darnold doesn't get enough credit. Okay, number one. Number two.
By the way, this is, yes.
He made some big boy throws.
Yes, he did.
The stretch run last night, he made a couple of dime, just ridiculous, big time, put you on my back and win the football game throws in overtime. He did everything he needed to do.
Uh-huh.
270 yards and two touchdowns after his second interception last night. But.
However.
As I watched them, I thought, do I trust this team with this quarterback? And this is one of those where maybe you end up being wrong, and I'm willing to be. I think there are other teams I feel this way about right now, where you just kind of go, do I think Darnold can win the Super Bowl this year playing at this level? And sometimes, I don't know if it's right or wrong, it's that's how you can go about kind of figuring out who's a real Super Bowl contender or not. I don't think they beat the Rams in the playoffs with Stafford playing the way he is. What do you make of that assessment? Because it's not my normal way of trying to evaluate, but I just couldn't shake it last night watching them. I'm like, you know, number one defense in the league, really awesome offense. Kenneth Walker's running wild, 11 carries for 100 yards, averaging 9 a pop. Charbonnet's really good at the goal line. But Darnold against the Rams has thrown 6 picks.
6 interceptions.
He's just made one too many bad mistakes.
It is the way the rest of us think a lot of times, right? This is a very not Grant Paulson view of things, right? Where you would naturally and understandably buck at somebody going, yeah, that guy's just not clutch. And you're just, it's so annoying.
And it's coming from someone who thinks Darnold gets a raw deal because he's not in the cool kids club.
I think both are true.
But yet now I'm holding it against him.
He's underappreciated and also not that guy, pal. Like, that's the pathology right there. You have seen those meltdown games, and everybody, I'm saying everybody, a lot of people just sort of feel, yeah, that's coming. Like, they won in spite of some of his mistakes last night.
Okay, but if I'm ruling out Darnold, and I'm saying the Seahawks probably can't win a Super Bowl with Sam Darnold as quarterback, mm-hmm. then shouldn't I also rule out Denver because of Bo Nix? It's a very similar setup.
It's up to you. Now,
Great defense. Yeah. I think they have a better collection of skill group around him. Should I rule out Jacksonville with Trevor Lawrence?
Now, I will there, but for Nix, I don't know. I mean, he is...
He played great last couple of weeks.
He is more Craig the Caretaker than Darnold is. Darnold, they're like, yeah, man, size it up, make some big boy throws. And that leads to gets fooled in coverage where the Rams have a man that have a zone that looks like man, and it's brilliant. They have, you know, the dropping defensive tackle on that goal line play. They've got a nice little secret sauce against him. So maybe somebody else is able to copy that, et cetera. For Bo Nix, it's more make a couple plays a game, kid. Other than that, you know, we're you know, just sort of keep it on cruise control, 55 in the slow lane, I feel like.
I can rule out the Colts based on their quarterback situation.
Agreed.
I feel like I'm going to rule out the Steelers because they're not good enough on offense.
Yeah, not good enough anyway.
Jacksonville then feels like it's in that same group.
Uh-huh.
In the NFC, who do you do that with? I mean, if this is just based on quarterback play, Caleb Williams isn't good enough yet.
That's
but I'm not willing to do that because they run the ball so well and they turn you over. It's harder in the NFC, I think, because you've got Love, Purdy, who's been in Super Bowls, Stafford.
Hurts.
The NFC South, I mean, neither of those teams are good enough anyway. Hurts has won a Super Bowl. Maybe Williams and Darnold are the only two I really don't truly trust out of the NFC playoff teams. If that's the metric. And I don't think it should be, but I'm watching that game last night and I'm going, they're about to be the one seed in the NFC. I should be feeling like this is a Super Bowl team, and they are in every other way. And maybe it's just the disrespect of Darnold. Maybe if that was Matt Stafford, who's had the exact same season, the exact same throws and interceptions and touchdowns, maybe I'd feel differently, and I'm just holding it against Darnold. But it just feels like every time he drops back in a big spot, you're not sure where that ball's going.
Yeah, that's the feeling. And, again, you've seen these meltdown games for him in major spots where you go, oh, you can hide it for a long time, but eventually that sort of the true color, Cyndi Lauper style, comes shining through, and that's there. And you feel like those playoff games at some point are going to come down to a quarterback having to make that 3rd-and-11 pickup, right? And that's why I don't trust Williams yet. It's probably not fair, as you said, because all he's done is play pretty damn well. Now, the highs are great. You get to a 6.5 out of 10 by, you know, 30 tens and 31s, and then you sort of average it out. But it feels like come postseason time, there's going to be that moment where you go, dude, what are you doing? And Darnold had a couple of those last night, and they won in spite of it.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. We're live today at Pupatella Pizza in Leesburg. We're going to be out here until 6:30, a little over 4 hours from right now. We're previewing the college football playoffs with Pat 40 of SI. That's coming up in 40 minutes at 3. We've got Joe Davis of Fox on the show today at 4:30. And the new general manager of the Nationals has given us a ring at 5 o'clock, Ani Colombi, who came over as the assistant GM in Philadelphia. Just 31 years old, he will be the new general manager of the Nats under Paul Toboni, the president of baseball operations. Looking forward to chatting with him in just a few hours. Come on out and hang with us in Leesburg at Pupatella. Next, I want to get into the Commanders and the Eagles tomorrow, a Saturday evening tilt at Northwest Stadium. You're listening to The Fan.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second, and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Ah, DSW, Earth Place of the Humble Brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Back live at Pupatella Pizza in Leesburg, where they take such good care of us. I will say, if you ever want to be fed, just hang out with us at Pupatella Pizza.
Seriously, bro.
It is just an irresponsible amount of food that we'll be consuming today. Irresponsible. They're so nice. It's like having a grandma again. I'm not lucky enough to still have a grandma, but if I come to Pupatella Pizza, I remember what it feels like.
Right. No matter how much you weigh or how out of shape you are, she's like, oh, my God, you're skin and bones. Like, yeah. Thank you, grandma.
And Michael's like, you're skin and bones, Grant. I'm like, I promise I'm not. He's like, take this pizza, please.
There is skin and bones underneath several layers of soft tissue. But, yes, absolutely, I'll have more dough.
We are going to be giving away a dinner for four guests today to somebody out here via our friends at Pupatella Pizza. So come on out and hang with us if you want to enter into that opportunity. Also, we've got Caps tickets on the line. So if you are one of the listeners who comes out, make sure you fill out your name and information so you have a chance to win some Caps tickets with us on 106.7 The Fan here at our live Friday field trip on Grant and Danny. I want to get to our Metropolitan Moving and Storage poll of the day, though. Let Metropolitan Moving and Storage do your heavy lifting and take it to the house. More at DCMetropolitanMoving.com. You can vote on the 106.7 The Fan Twitter account. Question we've got for you is, which of the young Commanders are you most excited to watch play tomorrow against the Eagles? And the options we're going to give you are four. Bill at running back, coming off 96 yards and a touchdown. Ben Sinnott, who had the big 30-plus yard catch this past week, who I feel like as a fan base we are rallying around and trying to get more involved.
We're just trying to make it happen.
It's a second-round tight end. Like, please throw him the football just once every now and then. That would be nice. Johnny Newton, speaking of second-round picks, 36th overall selection, who plays a little bit more than 33% of the time. Johnny Newton is going to play, hopefully, an elevated role with the stretch run here against the Eagles tomorrow. And then lastly, Bill, Ben Sinnott, Johnny Newton. I would throw into the conversation Brandon Coleman, who's getting a rare start tomorrow at left tackle, filling in for Laremy Tunsil, who's injured. Feels like a significant opportunity and test for him against a really good Eagles defense and a very quality defensive front. So of those four players, this is the poll of the day, Metropolitan Moving and Storage, who are you most excited to watch play when you tune in at 5 o'clock tomorrow?
It's Ben Sinnott, and here's my rationale. Brandon Coleman, I got a pretty good feel for. Or I thought I did, anyway, before they said, nah, no thanks. Not only you're not the left tackle or the right tackle, but you're also not the left guard. But I still feel like that's a solid NFL player. That's a win. That's a third rounder he can play. May not be the high ceiling guy, but again, that is a win for them. Johnny Newton, I feel like, also has gotten a decent amount of opportunity. In other words, it's not as if he's buried on the depth chart. He's a part-time player. He's a role player. He's a part of the rotation. That's fine. I know Ben Sinnott gets snaps, but there's no, if there was an equivalent of a defensive tackle, like how many times did you pressure? How many times did they let you go one-on-one or something? It's not apples to apples, but they just don't throw Ben Sinnott the football. He's the backup blocking tight end. I need what I was promised. I heard Kyle Juszczyk. I heard George Kittle. I heard a hybrid of the two of them. I heard that's who he reminds you of. Get targets for Ben Sinnott. It's all I want. And if he's bad, then I'll be able to finally say, okay, he stinks. Every time he's had the ball in his hands, it's looked pretty good.
But by the way, let me ask you about that. You say if he's bad, I'll be able to say he stinks. What does that even mean? Like if he drops the ball three times if he falls over when he starts to run?
If you can tell that a look is for him and he's like not open and doesn't know what to do or something, who knows? If he, at this stage, with every obstacle that was potentially in his way, some of it unfortunate, Zach Ertz's injury, et cetera, but everything is now out of the way. It's Ben Sinnott time. Please give a handful of targets to the second-round tight end from last year. Please. And if he can't handle them, right, for whatever reason, I don't know what that is, but if he can't handle them, then I'll go, okay, fine, it's not worth the experiment anymore, I don't care. Now tight end is a priority in the offseason. But if he can, then God, what a find. It just took a while to get there. It was a meandering path to him being successful. So he's the only player that I'm curious about in terms of those four.
There is the big offseason question looming, too, of how big of a need is tight end, right? Like, I think no matter what, you probably have to go get an athlete who can push the ball down the field vertically at the position to replace Zach Ertz, because I've kind of seen what I need to see to feel like Ben Sinnott is not that kind of player. And I don't mean he can't be super productive, but when they comped him to like a Kyle Juszczyk or whatever, I think the point is fullback, H-back, that Cooley-ish type guy who catches the ball horizontally and then breaks some tackles. I think that is the game. I don't view him as what Ertz was. And Ertz was a rarity. He's going to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
But that's more of that Kelsey, speed threat. Now, he doesn't have that anymore, but it's the
route running technician,
pushing the ball down
his
the field.
Body. Totally.
And that's not going to be Ben Sinnott. I think Sinnott could, in the 12 personnel with two tight ends, have a lot of success as like a guy that is still used, but they probably need an Ertz replacement, because the way I would view it is, you know, you go to a grocery store and you want cereal, you go to the same aisle, but they're two very different types of cereal. You could get Fruit Loops or you could get Cocoa Puffs, right? Like Zach Ertz is Fruit Loops and Ben Sinnott is Cocoa Puffs. I think they need to buy another type of Fruit Loops, maybe a different brand, for next season. They need that type of tight end, but I'm with you. I'm intrigued by Sinnott. I want to see him throwing the football. They did target him, it looks like, maybe on a design, a little wheel on the sideline that Logan broke down for us on Take Command that didn't come to fruition. Call that again. Call two or three more plays. And by the way, let's make them line of scrimmage throws that don't need to long develop, that don't get harassed by pressure, where the ball's just going to be in his hand. The guy I'm going to give you is that I want to watch is Bill. Last week looked like what I thought this season was going to look like. My fear is, and I like Chris Rodriguez, so don't mishear me here. My fear is he comes back, carries the ball the most, and now Bill falls back down to getting like 4 to 8 carries or something. I don't know how much he can do with 4 to 8 carries, but I do think he has the ceiling, the upside, the ability to rip off the big run, to hit the home run. We've had him now in 4 straight games. We've seen Bill have at least a 10-yard carry. Against Miami, Denver, Minnesota, and the Giants, he has had a 10-plus-yard run. he's getting back to what he was doing early in the season kind of quietly. He just hasn't had the ball a lot. I'm hoping for another 14, 15 attempts from him. And it's no disrespect against Chris Rodriguez, who I think has actually been super effective. He's a nice change of pace, like thumper. I think that's his role. I just want Major in Bill, minor in Rodriguez. He's a third-year player going into year four next year, who's going to be 26 years old. Bill's a rookie. 3 weeks left, man. I'm not saying Chris Rodriguez is old, but let's play Bill. Let's get him the looks.
I co-sign that. I talked about this yesterday on the show, and I doubled down today. I want pass game Bill. Doesn't necessarily mean you have to throw to him, but I want to see him hold up against pressure. I want to see him identify where the blitzer's coming from. I want to see him actually have a route run, catch the football. I want to see a choice route, an option route. I want to see him flare out, catch a ball in the screen game. I want the football in his hands, not just handing it off. Right now, when he's in the game, it's a run play. More often than not, it's a pretty big tell at this point. So he can't play during passing downs. I would eliminate that going forward. He needs the reps in that regard. He may not be as good right now as Jeremy McNichols. I totally understand that. May not be as good as Chris Rodriguez in terms of picking up a blitz, pass pro, etc. But I need to see him do it at this point. I wouldn't have that same attitude if Jaden Daniels was playing, and I go, oh my God, I can't think of having the rookie out there who might miss a pass block and have it be a catastrophic injury for Jaden Daniels because of it. It sounds flippant towards Mariota's health, but I can deal with that a lot more than I can deal with the former.
A guy that neither of us said, but somebody worth mentioning here, is Brandon Coleman getting
a
start. Here's my interest in this. What would a really good Brandon Coleman performance mean for him with this team and his standing with this team? And here's why I ask. I feel like you've seen him at left tackle all of last season, and they have a pretty good beat on what he is. By the way, I thought he was effective. I thought he was solid. I thought if you wanted him at right tackle this year with Laremy Tunsil at left tackle, it would have been perfectly fine. In fact, I would make the case that he would have had a better season probably than Josh Connerly had if he was at right tackle. Now, that doesn't mean I'm not glad they drafted Connerly. I think Connerly's going to be a star. I don't think Coleman has that upside. But I just think the growing pains of a rookie who was kind of learning his way as a guy that needs to put on muscle and some weight.
Yeah,
I think Coleman had some of that man strength already and probably would have just had an overall better season. But that said, if he goes out and plays great, they don't have an opening at tackle. You're locking up Tunsil, you better, and I think they're going to. You have Connerly as your long-term answer bookend at right tackle, who's going to be a stud, and he's continuing to get better and better and better. I don't even know if they're going to have an opening at guard, but Cosmi's not going anywhere. Biotis is under contract at center. He doesn't play that position. The one opening you would have is where he started the year at left guard if they didn't re-sign Chris Paul. And all signs point to them wanting to keep Chris Paul around because he's been very good. They think he's better right now than Brandon Coleman is. So why wouldn't you try to keep him around? So if he plays really good, what does that really mean, I guess, is my question. Is he just your third tackle going into next year, which is fine? Is he just your sixth lineman?
Yeah, is he your Swiss Army knife?
He could play four spots. You need one of those. Drafting a guy in the third round to do that is not a bad thing. It also speaks to having a pretty damn good offensive line.
Yes, it does.
Everybody calls in and tells us how terrible the line is and they don't protect the quarterbacks. They're the seventh best offensive line in the league, according to PFF this year. And you'd be the deepest you've been in terms of talent if a guy like Coleman can't get on the field entering next year in year three.
And also, this sounds like just the biggest jinx of all time, but they've actually been remarkably healthy when it comes to offensive lines. I mean, look at the line combos that 90% of teams seemingly have to use.
Did you just say the Commanders and healthy in the same sentence?
It's bizarre, especially given the season, but it's the same group of five, basically, for an overwhelming majority of the snaps, and Coleman just has to get in where he fits in, which is extra linemen sometimes, pinch hitting for Tunsil, who's left several games. And again, I don't mean to be flippant about it. I know Tunsil's missing this weekend. But in general, you look at what most teams have to go through. This is their 17th line combination since November 1st. That hasn't happened here for this group, whereas everywhere else they've been decimated by injuries, not there. That's atypical. What's more normal is this guard misses a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks with a broken this or a strain that, and he's got to fill in. If you've got a guy that can back up adequately, or even plus, might I add, multiple positions, what an asset that is. So that, to me, I think they've already won in that degree, because I feel good about Coleman in that regard. Maybe that's too bullish, seeing as he's been replaced twice, once by all-pro caliber Tunsil, but the other by, multiple regime holdover Chris Paul. I don't know, but I'm still pretty bullish on Coleman. I don't know if that's naive or not.
No, I don't think it is. It's weird, because I don't remember this happening before, where whenever a player plays, I feel like he's pretty good, and yet he keeps losing jobs. He lost the left tackle job, and you can explain that one away because it's Laremy Tunsil, who's top five in the league. Then he loses the right tackle job, harder to explain away, but you could say, well, look, they love this guy Connerly. They had a first-round pick. They thought that was the way to go. All right, whatever. Now you've got the left guard job, and you lose that to a seventh-round pick from a previous regime.
Yeah.
That's not a good look. Like, that's the first one where you go, are we sure here? And where you actually wonder how much of it is performance and play. It's not like Paul was the starter over him anyway. They benched Brandon Coleman, remember, to play Chris Paul after a couple games. There obviously was something they saw they didn't like. Is this a Mikey Sanristil situation? That's where I'm at on it, where maybe he's more tackle than guard. Maybe that's just, it's certainly his natural position. It's what he did at Texas Christian. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's just where he needs to play. But there's no spot for him because you're going to pay Tunsil and you've got Connerly. I'm cool with having three really good tackles. There was a time here when they had a starting caliber third tackle named Ty Nsekhe several years ago. And he ended up playing like five, six games a season. Mm-hmm. I stopped myself from saying
you
six,
almost
seven.
Did. But not even doing shtick though. That's more normal. That's usually what happens in the NFL, right? Linemen get hurt. It's a high contact position, constant injuries, whether it's fingers or ligaments or, you know, shoulder stuff. You're engaged on every single play. So you're more vulnerable than most.
Grant and Danny on the Fan, if you want to join us to discuss who you're most excited to see play among those four kids, you could do that, 800-636-1067. It's our Metropolitan Moving and Storage poll of the day. In 20 minutes, one of the top college football writers in the country, Pat Forty, joins the show. We'll get his thoughts on the college football playoffs that get going this evening and on JMU for the first time ever playing a postseason game in college football as they take on Oregon tomorrow night. You're listening to G&D live from Leesburg at Pupatella Pizza. Live from Leesburg at Pupatella Pizza, Grant and Danny with you on the Fan. Talking Commanders-Eagles, a day out from a rare Saturday night matchup at Northwest Stadium. I can't help but wonder what the attendance is going to look like for these final two home games.
Yeah, a lot on the line for Philly, right? They can wrap up the division. This is, you know, people that are from Philly that live here. This is an exciting one for them to go to because they feel pretty good about themselves, etc.
They'll make the trip down 95. With a chance to put the division on ice. I'm wondering more about the Commander side of the ledger.
Yeah.
But I think that this game will be a little more burgundy and gold friendly than Christmas Day. I just can't help anecdotally in my own life. But to think about the conversations I had with people when the schedule came out, how excited they were about a Christmas Day game with the Cowboys, the wide eyes of possibly being NFC's champions on Christmas or making the playoffs or what have you, big, huge, end-of-season game with Dallas, see 2012 under the lights, right, prime time. In this case, it'd be a nationally televised day game on Netflix, which is kind of fun, streaming coast to coast. And now the same people that were elated about that game are going, I'm not going to that game.
Yeah.
I got tickets. I'm looking to sell them. I'm looking to get rid of them. And I'm not knocking anybody, by the way.
Totally. It's your fandom, man.
I'll tell you right now, I'm not going to that game. It'll be one of the first times in my entire life where I'm going to not go work that football game. And if it wasn't Christmas Day, I'd go. I'm going tomorrow. But I got four kids, and it's Christmas. You know, there's one day a year that I think you can kind of pull that card, and that's the one. But I am fascinated to see what it looks like at Northwest Stadium in these final couple of weeks. And that was always the one thing they would say about Dan Snyder that was moderately reasonable, was the thing that drove him the craziest, that made him the most reactionary, that got the biggest
action or reaction, kind of?
Yeah. Just fervor out of him was those end-of-season games where there were not butts in seats.
Now, he didn't care if it was opposing fans, right? As long as somebody was there?
Not as much.
That's what I always heard.
I think for the most part, he would look at the number and say, what do we got? Not the one that they said to us, where it was like, there's 62,000 people here. But when they told him, hey, we had 23,242 people
through the gate, yeah,
in the gate today, like, that's what he couldn't abide. Because the Eagles, what was Jordan's line? Like, Republicans buy shoes too or whatever?
Yes.
Like, for Dan Snyder, his line, I think, was probably, guess what? Eagles fans buy beer, too.
Right.
I don't think he cared that much who was there, as evidenced by the fact that they did nothing to quell it for all those years.
Yeah, and they also were, you know, there's a difference between, you know, tickets are available via one of the third-party sites, but they were doing partnerships and deals at times and kind of were in bed with them. And somebody much smarter than me explained it really, really well beforehand. But, I mean, they would actively, you know, sales folks to get sales quotas done were using some of those third-party things or going to Philadelphia tour groups or giant tour groups or whatever to, you know, the equivalent of the seven-train army or whatever coming down just to make sure their blocks were sold. So, yeah, they were more guilty than just sort of, oh, well, our fans didn't want to come. It was they knew no one wanted to come. They're just still trying to find some ticket sales.
Chris is in Maryland, wants to hop in on Grant and Danny live on the Fan. What's up, Chris? How are you?
Is this Chris in Hyattsville?
Oh, Chris in Hyattsville. You were labeled as Chris in Maryland. You have
but
your
we
own,
know.
Yeah, you have your own moniker, I suppose, on the show.
There's a brand.
Yeah. I am slowly building a brand. I've got, I think, 13 followers, so it's, you know, it's getting good. The guy I mean, look, this is going to sound boring and dull, but it's got to be Sennett. And I am such a Sennett stan because I feel like he's one of those players that the coaches just don't know any better. I feel like this guy is not a practice squad, you know, juggernaut, but you get him in the game, his raw athleticism and adrenaline is going to take him over, and he's going to make some plays that surprise you. He just needs those opportunities. I mean, every time seemingly he catches the ball, it's either for a first down or a touchdown. I mean,
well,
he's only had like 10 catches his entire career.
Yeah. I don't know if you remember this, and I don't expect that you would. It was like a one-off comment he made in an interview I did with him in preseason. But to your point, we had him on the show. I actually interviewed him, because I went out to training camp, and I recorded with him out there. And I asked him basically about like his frustrating or disappointing rookie season. And he basically said to me, my strength and the thing I'm good at, the thing that fans would be interested in, is my ability after the catch to rumble, to make plays, basically. He's like, and I didn't get to catch any passes.
Yeah, I never caught any balls.
To use a literary reference, it's a catch-22 situation. You can't show people that unless you actually catch the ball. But
totally.
They don't throw you the ball because they don't think you can catch it. Anyway, on Brandon Coleman, I think, do you remember when the Nationals called up Lucas Giolito for like a single game?
Yeah.
Then he all of a sudden became Adam Eaton? I think that's what's going on with a lot of these players on this team, particularly Coleman, because let's showcase the league that against one of the top defenses in the league, maybe not this year, but at least talent-wise, he can hold his own. And you could turn that into some kind of draft capital or offseason acquisition. And even if not, you can be sure that you've got depth at tackle. So I think that might be something that's going on here, and I think that would be a wise decision from my
opinion. It would be. It's a good call, as always. Thanks, buddy. I'm on board with that, first of all. But this is why they should also sit Tunsil the final two games, to further extrapolate out the amount of tape people are going to get over another 2 weeks, to further give them another eight quarters of him. I don't know if he has trade value. I don't know if you should trade him because it is a position where you got two starters and you need a swing tackle and you need some depth.
Yeah, this year's unusual. I want to keep reiterating that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So there's probably enough value in keeping him around even as a sixth lineman, as a third tackle, that I would still prefer that over whatever, you know, sixth-round pick or whatever late-round pick that you're going to be getting. But there are other guys, maybe, where you could build a little bit of trade value. Where you know, they almost dealt Noah Igbinoghene on cutdown day this year, if you remember.
I do.
If he has a couple of good games, do you, you know, potentially, you know, sign him to a one-year deal, and then once you make all your moves at corner, look for something like that in the summer. And there's a lot of different ways this thing could go. The one thing I want to pinball off you really quickly here, we don't have a lot of time, but he talked about Sennett and the coaches not knowing any better. I told you this a few weeks ago. This is an area where my philosophy has changed some, but 99% of the time, if you bet on what the coaches see that you think is wrong, you're going to be right. In other words, they don't make as many mistakes as we think not playing guys because they just don't like these really good players. Occasionally, outsiders like us are right and they're wrong when they finally play the guy and he's good, but 90-some percent of the time, when multiple years go by and the staff just doesn't see it enough to give a guy a try, we're not smarter
than
that.
There's usually a good case. Yeah. I mean, there are exceptions. And I think you lose some credibility when it's gone this poorly. You know what I mean? Just in general, like how great at decision making are you when nothing seems to have gone right this year from the calls that you made when you decided one thing over another? But in general, I think the point stands. They have access to more than we do, and that can never change. There's always going to be an imbalance there.
Grant and Danny from Leesburg at Pupatella Pizza. We'll be here until 6:30 today with listeners. Come on out. You have a chance to sign up to try to win some Capitals tickets. Got a chance to try to win a dinner for four guests at Pupatella Pizza. It's a good day to have a Friday field trip. Let's talk college football playoff with one of the best writers covering college sports in America, Pat Forty, next right here on The Fan.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo, it'll create a custom website, it'll write social posts for you, and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.